It's Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. You're with us here on the Ideas Network. Earlier this month, Wisconsin started seeing our first big snowfalls of the winter as an Arctic blast brought major storms and sub-zero temperatures to states around the country. And polar vortex experts say there might be more of that headed our way next month. Whether it's a big storm or typical Wisconsin snow, it is plowing season. Our next guests are Public Works employees. They've seen it all, and they're here to tell us what goes into keeping the roads clear and safe during the winter months and answer your snowplow questions. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What is your experience of snow and ice removal in your community in general, in the storms that came through in the last couple of weeks? How do you try to stay safe on the road during winter weather conditions? What questions do you have about snow plowing? And if you've ever been a snowplow operator yourself, love to hear your experiences. Join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. Kaylin Jenick is Operations Services Manager with the Milwaukee Department of Public Works. Kaylin, welcome to Central Time.
Hi, thanks for having me.
And Gene Derone is a truck driver and driver trainer for the Milwaukee Department of Public Works. Gene, thanks for joining us.
Hey, good afternoon. Thanks for having me.
All right, Kaylin, take us through it. You're watching the weather. You see a big storm is coming through. What goes into making that plan for the next storm that's coming along?
A lot of that planning has happened even back in April before it even started snowing. And so we start planning for snow year round to get our trucks ready, to make sure we have the equipment we need, to get our drivers trained to be able to handle that snow and ice control. And then we spend a lot of time in late summer and fall training our supervisors and managers and folks to keep an eye on the streets and let us know how we're doing. Once we start to see the weather forecast showing snow, we use a lot of different sources for weather. And it's our biggest challenge because weather forecasts are a chaotic science. So we might get forecasts saying we're going to get a foot of snow. And then 2 days later, it can be down to just an inch. Or vice versa, they could say we're only going to get 2 inches of snow and all of a sudden we have eight. So part of our planning is to be prepared for whatever Mother Nature throws at us as much as possible. And so we start planning, we start making sure that we have the trucks, the drivers we need, that they know their routes. And we're just trying to figure out all the details of what time to start an event, to have those operators go out, how much salt to use, what type of blade to have on the truck, because our trucks have two blades. And then we just start adapting depending on what that actual storm turns out to be.
Gene, Kaylin mentioned training. You drive for the city, not just snowplows, I understand, but you also help train people. What goes into training somebody to drive a snowplow?
Well, I started out as a snowplow driver for several years, and then I became a driver trainer. And I've taken all types of commercial drivers, truck drivers, safety and defensive driving courses. And we do train each one of our drivers with all the tools that we have, such as training videos, behind the wheel training, on the job training. And we also do hands on with all of our drivers. They start off as normal drivers, and then they go through our commercial drivers program that takes several months in some cases, because they start off with the early learning driver training. And then they come through our behind the wheel training. And then we put them into snowplows after they've completed all of that training. And when the wintertime comes, we kind of gear up towards winter operation, which we start doing safety meetings and we do briefings on safe driving techniques and snowplow operation to get prepared when we do get a heavy snowfall.
This year, we also had an opportunity to use our driving simulators, which was some new technology for us to use. And it gave a realistic opportunity for some of our new drivers to see what it's like to snowplow, because we have to train folks when there isn't snow on the ground, but our trainers do a great job of also getting out in the field when there's snow to make sure that those lessons have absorbed and making corrections as needed.
Let's bring on a caller at 800-642-1234. Greg is with us in Milwaukee. Greg, hi.
Hello. I live close to the Port of Milwaukee, and I go to the Board of Harbor Commissioners meetings, and the city makes the most money from the Port of Milwaukee from dry bulk storage of road salt. So there's an incentive to use road salt. We have I understand no state laws indicating that salt is toxic to fresh water. Many other areas of the country use something besides salt because their drinking water supplies are very shallow.
Greg, I gotcha. Thanks a lot for the call. And Kaylin, I was looking at your frequently asked questions there. Right at the top of the list are, why don't we use less salt and why don't we use more salt? How do you weigh the different alternatives when it comes to how much salt to use?
Sure. We absolutely get both sides of the question. And for us, it's important to use less salt because there is an environmental impact as well as there's a fiscal impact to using salt. At the same time, our highest priority is public safety. And in a city like Milwaukee, where we have a lot of vehicles driving, a lot of our streets may be at a higher speed than some other communities, that public safety element is really important. And so we really look to the weather to dictate and what current conditions are. So pavement forecasts are really important. Listeners may be more familiar with air temperatures, but when we're determining our salt application rates, we're looking at the pavement of how warm that is to determine if salt's going to be more effective. If we can use less salt, because if the pavement's going to be warmer, we'll use less pounds per lane mile. If it's going to be colder, we do need to ramp up how much salt we use. But we do also still have a limit on how much salt we'll use. And whenever there is measurable snow, we're always going to plow that snow first, be it with our front plow blade or underbelly blade, so that we're mechanically pushing and salting as little as we can. But we're going to maintain that public safety first.
Great. And we also try to use alternative salt means, such as brine materials. We have tried some other alternative salt measures in the past, but we do have to have enough application on the road to keep the road safe at all times.
Greg, thanks a lot for that call at 800-642-1234. Mike joins us now in La Crosse. Mike, hi.
Hello, can you hear me?
Loud and clear. What did you want to bring up, Mike?
Yeah, with the last storm we had in La Crosse, there were several inches of snow, and the snowplow came up several times and plowed by our street, and I appreciate that. But at the same time, every time he plowed, he would put down a mixture of sand salt for traction, which I appreciate. But after a few minutes, it was just covered up again. And then the next time that he came, he would plow that sand salt mixture off the road. That does not make any sense to me. Is that a proper practice?
Mike, thanks for the...
It allows for traction for a short period of time, but then the snow just covers it up again.
Mike, thanks for the call. Gene, do you find yourself plowing that last application of salt in the next round of plowing?
Yeah, absolutely. We try to, as we use plows to push the snow out of the road, we try to put a light application of salt down. We don't put a heavy application of salt until we've completely plowed down. If he's talking about a residential street, we try to plow the street first with mechanical means, such as a plow pushing the snow either to one side of the street or the other. And then at the end of plowing the street, then we try to come through with the application of salt. However, depending on how many lane miles this person has to plow, they have to complete, you know, one pass through each lane mile before they plow it to the side. So there might be a delay for 40 minutes until he turns around and gets back to that same street. So he might have one of those situations, but we don't put all the salt down and plow it to the side. That doesn't make a lot of sense. We try to keep the salt on the truck for traction, because once that salt runs out, we start spinning around. So we keep the salt on the truck until we've plowed the streets. And then we do a last application as we leave those residential areas.
Mike, thanks for the call. We are talking to Gene Durone, truck driver and trainer, and Kaylin Jenick, operations services manager, both with the Milwaukee Department of Public Works. They're with us for a look behind the plow, what goes into removing ice and snow from city streets in the winter. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Are you happy with the snow and ice removal services in your own community? What's it been like navigating streets, bike lanes, crosswalks in your community this year? Have you ever done this job? Have you been a snowplow driver yourself? What was that experience like? Join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. We'll continue the conversation coming up here on Central Time. It's Central Time. I'm Rob Barrett. We're picking up our conversation with Kaylin Jenick and Gene Durone from Milwaukee's Department of Public Works about the ins and outs of snow plowing as we make our way through another Wisconsin winter. You can join in at 800-642-1234 with your questions on our guest. If there's something that confuses you about why plowing happens the way it does, 800-642-1234 is the number. I want to ask each a question, though, before we get back to our callers. Gene, first of all, you know, you're out driving the plows. Other people, you know, ordinary folks like us are out there driving. Can you give us some ideal model behavior for those other drivers when they're in the vicinity of a snowplow?
That's a very good question. It's a very good point. When we're driving these snowplows, they're very large vehicles. Some of them we're wide at that time because we have plows off to the side, or our plows are wider than the truck itself. Yeah, the only thing I can tell someone that can help me as I'm snowplowing is to, you know, give me enough room in case I have to stop for something, or give me enough room to plow if I'm plowing to one side or the other. Give me enough room to maneuver the truck, especially if I'm going in and into a curb lane where I'm in and out of parked vehicles. If I go into a curb lane, let me back out in the street, because I cannot clear the path if I got to let all the traffic through. I try to work with the traffic at all times, and the best thing someone can do is just back off and give me about 50 feet so I can do my job.
And Kaylin, it seems like the worst cases I see over the years, and this is something that happened last week here in Wisconsin, or a couple of weeks ago, when we have a lot of snow and then the temperature plummets, it goes way down below freezing. Can you talk about why that's an extra challenge?
Sure. It's an extra challenge because that freezing really just turns the snow into ice. And so the plow blades don't necessarily have enough down pressure to get below that snow and ice to be able to push it off the street. And because we are concerned about our salt use, so the amount of salt you would need to use to burn that ice off isn't worth it for us. And so there is going to be some hard pack left on the streets with that freeze, especially with that heavy amount of snow. To clear our streets, we really rely on the three T's of time, temperature, and traffic. That sometimes you need those three things to come together. You need time for product to work. You need the temperature to be warm enough for it to work and to impact the snow and ice. And then you need the traffic to also break it up. And when it's really cold, we really don't get any of those three, because the traffic's not going to break it up, the temperature's not in our favor, and time isn't going to do us any favors because it's just too cold for us to be able to make progress.
Let's go back to our callers now. Dan is with us in Muscadet. Dan, hi.
Yes, I hear you mention this brine. I'm really curious, how did we ever develop to start using this, and where did it come from, and how does it compare to putting salt down? Does it last longer than salt? Or?
Gotcha. Dan, Brian, who wants to tackle that one, the basics of brining our roads?
Yeah, so brine, it's actually salt water. So it's a 23.3% salt water solution that we use to really reduce of how much salt we use. So brine can be used in two ways. We use it when we're in an event to pre-wet the salt. So it will spray as the salt is coming out of the spinner. We use spinners. There's some other equipment that municipalities may use. And that brine hitting the salt activates it a little bit quicker because it needs moisture to activate, as well as it prevents the salt from bouncing as much. So it really stays in the driving lane more instead of bouncing into our parking lanes. The other way that we've used brine significantly more and a lot of municipalities are moving towards is pre-brining the streets or anti-icing. And so using that liquid instead, that salt really stays on the street and can prevent the ice from bonding to the pavement. So it's easier for us to take care of later, as well as sometimes we can anti-ice. And if it's a very small event, that brine on the street, we don't need to have all of our trucks go out and salt, because that brine has taken care of the minimal amount of ice or snow that may have been on that street.
And Gene, can you see the difference with brining in those two strategies, you know, in real time?
Yes, you can see the difference. Brine gives us more time to get out to the streets, because we can brine before the actual snow event. And that kind of keeps the streets passable until we can get back out there again with a plow or more salt to help the brine start working.
Thanks a lot for that question, Dan. Appreciate it. Back to your calls. Greg is with us in Mesa Mani. Greg, hi.
Hi. Hey, I'm curious. I watched the town patrolman go back and forth a couple passes today. And in every case, the blade is like 2.5-3 inches above the pavement. Why aren't they cutting it down to the pavement and getting that slush off the road?
Greg, thanks for the call. My wife had a similar question last week. Gene, why would we not be going right down to the pavement with the blades?
That's a good question. I don't know why they wouldn't get to the pavement. Maybe because once the ice bonds to the pavement, the plows don't have enough down pressure to kind of push it all the way down to that clear pavement. And that's one of the things that we have to get out on the streets before that starts to bond to the pavement, because once that snow gets driven over, it becomes like a hard compact of ice, and then the plow can't push down hard enough to bring it back off the ground again.
So that operator could also potentially be using the underbelly blade. Usually that front blade might be would be higher than 2 to 3 inches. But a lot of salt trucks also have a blade underneath it that they might be using, that because sometimes they find that gets a little bit more down pressure, can handle smaller amounts.
Thanks a lot for that call, Greg. Now, Kaylin, some communities have had naming events for their plows, you know, Plowy McPlowface and Darth Blader and things like that. Is that something you do in Milwaukee at all?
A little bit. We did it last year. Part of it is we love the experience of our operators. We have an incredibly dedicated team working 24/7 to do these snow events. And so we did a raffle for our main team drivers. And so we did have some drivers who named their trucks. This year, the city of Milwaukee has a big truck day in May that we invite the public to come see all of our equipment during National Public Works Week. And so we're planning on doing some truck naming at those event, at that event.
And Gene, in our last few moments, what is a day like? We've got a long, sustained snowstorm. How long are you personally out there on the roads plowing?
Well, at the initial start of a snowstorm, we work long hours, as many as we can safely drive. And then we try to maintain safe drivers by bringing in fresh crews of drivers. Sometimes it's 10 to 12 hour operations. Sometimes we go into an 8 to 10 hour operation. It all depends on the storm and the time that the snow is actually going to fall. Some of our drivers, Kayla mentioned that we do a 24 hour operation because some of our drivers might get called in at midnight and their normal shifts is 7 or 8 in the morning. So they have already worked 8-9 hours before the start of their normal shift in the first place. So it all depends on the type of snow, the type of operation. So it's kind of a juggle sometimes. There might be a 12 hour shift on some days, and that's how we maintain fresh drivers. And we attack it. That's the point where we always keep a defensive and safe driving techniques, because once the driver becomes fatigued, then mistakes tend to happen. So.
And we'll leave it there. Thanks to both of our guests, Gene Derone and Kaylin Jenick from Milwaukee's Department of Public Works, giving us some snow plowing 101.